Hello there, and welcome to the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, where we're reading through the Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Thanks for being here today. It's great to see you. It's Sunday, which means we're back to the epistles. Oh, and by the way, I need to apologize for something. Last week, I had a couple of problems with the feed, getting episodes out on time. I truly am sorry about that. It was my mistake. In one case, I forgot to click a certain button in WordPress, so the episode wasn't published on time. And in the second case, I referenced the previous day's audio file when I published the episode. Dumb mistakes. You'd think that after publishing more than 2,000 episodes, I wouldn't make that kind of mistake, but obviously such is not the case. Going forward, I'll try to be more deliberate when pushing those episodes out. Well, our reading today is Romans chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 3 is going to be from the New English Translation, and chapter 4 will be from the New King James. Let's get started. Romans chapter 3. Therefore, what advantage does the Jew have, or what is the value of circumcision? Actually, there are many advantages. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What then? If some did not believe, does their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? Absolutely not. Let God be proven true, and every human being shown up as a liar, just as it is written, quote, so that you will be justified in your words and will prevail when you are judged, unquote. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? I'm speaking in human terms. Absolutely not. For otherwise, how could God judge the world? For if by my lie the truth of God enhances his glory, why am I still actually being judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil so that good may come of it, as some who slander us allege that we say. Their condemnation is deserved. What then? Are we better off? Certainly not, for we have already charged that Jews and Greeks alike are all under sin, just as it is written, quote, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness, not even one. Unquote. Or, quote, their throats are open graves. They deceive with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips. Unquote. And, quote, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Unquote. And, quote, their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their paths, and the way of peace they have not known. Unquote. And, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Unquote. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no one is declared righteous before him by the works of the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God, which is attested by the law and the prophets, has been disclosed, namely, the righteousness of God through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God publicly displayed Him at His death as the mercy seat accessible through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because God, in His forbearance, had passed over the sins previously committed. This was also to demonstrate His righteousness in the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who lives because of Jesus' faithfulness. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what principle? Of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is declared righteous by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since God is one, He will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Absolutely not. Instead, we uphold the law. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. He said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith which our father had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the purpose made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, "So shall your descendants be." And not being weak in the faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Beloved, I think we can safely say that we live in a time of division. Wouldn't you agree? Our nation, and even much of the world, is more divided today than we have seen in a very, very long time. But guess what? Ecclesiastes 1:9 tells us, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." The central reason for the miseries of the human experience is sin, falling short of God's standard. And that is Paul's message in Romans 3. He said, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God." As much as people are divided on opposite sides of politics or race or anything else, we really are all the same in this respect. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How much better off would we be if everyone would come to the realization of this basic truth? We're all in the same boat. Black, white, millennial, boomer, progressive, conservative, mask wearer, mask eschewer. We are all made of the same stuff. Each of us has fallen short. Paul then says that we can be rescued from the consequences of our shortfalls by faith in the saving work of Christ Jesus. By believing in him, our shortfall is paid up. We can't pay it ourselves. The debt is too high. So we have to accept that which Jesus offers by faith. I mentioned division. God's plan will bring unity, not division. Listen, Paul said, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what principle? Of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we consider that a person is declared righteous by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too." Are you at a loss as to how the world is going to get through these troubled times? I sure don't have many answers, but one thing I do know is that we need to share the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. You want to know how to change the world? We change the world one heart at a time. Turn hearts to God, you turn the world around. See you tomorrow. We'll read Genesis chapters 4 through 7. And until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.